When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, have a question about the latest when it comes to COVID-19. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now from Northwestern Medicine, the Chief Medical Officer at Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Good afternoon, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing particularly well because I seem to be... Well, I'm hoping for the best, or maybe I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, but I'm seeing different reports that they think the Delta variant might be peaking. I think there was a story in Bloomsburg earlier today that said that hospitalizations were actually down a tick for the first time. And what are you seeing when it comes to the Delta variant?
Yeah, for hospitalizations here, we haven't seen that go down yet. We're seeing a slight flattening of it right now, which is very reassuring instead of, you know, the creeping up that we were seeing. So it certainly looks at it. And the Southeast appears to be doing better again with new tests or new results as well. We're just keeping our fingers crossed that it's actually true data and not that individuals have just got apathetic and have stopped going in for testing. But certainly the numbers we're looking at, hospitalizations, ICU admissions, seem to be holding quite steady right now, which is very reassuring.
And so that's good news that it's not going up, that we're holding steady.
Yeah, I mean, right now, we talked about last week or the week before, you know, we were in the mid-30s. We're still in the mid-30s, so we've been holding very steady here for about the past probably week to 10 days. You know, I was looking at it, this trend, we'd probably be closer to 50 cases when right now, we're still hanging there in the mid-30s.
That's great. Okay, have we learned anything from other parts of the world? I mean, I'm thinking Israel, but anywhere else about how long this Delta variant wave lasts?
No, we really haven't. You know, it's differing in different countries for many different reasons. One, socioeconomic, one, vaccination rates, one, cultural. So we don't really have a country or a group that mimics us as well. You would think of the U.K., you know, their Delta peak a little bit earlier, but they're still having problems. But we really don't have a portion in the world that has the same kind of demographic, logistic position that we're in.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Text, please ask Dr. Most if we can have our California son and Nashville son sleep over at the holidays. We're all vaccinated, or if they should stay home like last year. I mean, this year is different than last year, is it not?
It certainly is. You know, if they're fully vaccinated and you're fully vaccinated, absolutely. You know, this is a time that we're going to celebrate those who are fully vaccinated, because right now, like we said, you know, we're looking at the hospitalizations. Those are all unvaccinated individuals. So you can certainly do that and definitely travel safely, but you certainly will be able to be around vaccinated people for these upcoming holidays.
And it's worth repeating, right, that if you are vaccinated, your chances of ending up in the hospital or having a serious situation with COVID-19 remains very small.
Correct. We're hearing about breakthrough cases, but a lot of those breakthrough cases are mild to moderate illness and symptoms. But really, we're looking at over 99% of the COVID patients in the hospital are unvaccinated individuals. Certainly, we have a couple that have had breakthroughs, and unfortunately, those are immunocompromised and other patients who have underlying medical conditions. So we're not seeing the healthy individual who's fully vaccinated get to a point of needing hospitalizations after a breakthrough case.
And yet we are hearing, Lauren, I don't know if you're listening in the newsroom, but the number of cases today was, I think, yep, Lauren, the highest since last January?
Since January 22nd. Mm-hmm.
And so what do you attribute that to, Doctor? Just that, I mean, there aren't many more tests being taken, right? Why is it that we're having so many more cases now than we did 6 months ago?
Yeah, and I don't know, did we break 5,000, Lauren? Did we
go to 5,178, I believe.
Yep. Well, what we're seeing is two things. One, we're seeing the strength of the Delta variant and the ability for it to spread as much as it possibly can. Two, are we seeing what the impact is going to be with schools? I don't think so. I think that's a little early right now. And we're really only scratching the surface on testing individuals, because right now it's not as easy to be tested as it was in the past, right? If I asked you, Steve, where's the closest place to go get tested, you really have to stop and think. So those individuals with mild symptoms aren't even getting tested, which is continuing to allow the variant to spread.
So the texts often are more negative than the phone calls, which is, I wish they'd call, but they tend not to. So let me just answer this one from 630. Are Steve and the doc wearing masks right now? If not, why not? Well, we are not wearing masks right now because the doctor's on the telephone and I'm in the studio. So we certainly are socially distant. Here's another one, doctor. Let's talk about all the people who died from the vaccine. You want to take that?
Well, this would be a very short conversation because the number of people who died from the vaccine is minuscule. And we really don't even have the direct correlation of dying from the individuals who died after the vaccine. So if you want to really start to look at math, look at the number of people who have died from COVID. Let's not look at the number of people who may possibly have had a medical condition and died from the vaccine. It's a ridiculous argument that, I mean, that's the guy that I would love to go to debate class with, because you would really, with a couple simple math equations, make him look like a fool. I hate to say that in that tone of voice, but people that think they're going to die from the vaccine, I can tell you, you're going to die from COVID. You're going to be in the hospital. You're going to be intubated. You're going to have long haulers from COVID. Let's look at those numbers.
We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital. On a phone line now is David. David, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you.
What can we help you with?
Dr. Most, I have a question. I've had several friends bring up an argument against masks, basically saying that the virus particles are so small that they would simply pass through the masks more or less unimpeded. And they'll even use an illustration like water going through chicken wire or something like that. So I was wondering if you could address that question or criticism and comment on the efficacy of masks in light of
that. Absolutely. Two things about masks. One is they are a barrier. And if you're talking to somebody with COVID and they are talking on when they have a mask on, the ability for them to spread that virus a great distance dramatically down. Certainly some will go out the side, some may even go through, but not the volume that we're talking about. The other thing about masks is people don't realize how often they touch their nose and their mouth throughout the day. And when you have a mask on, you're not doing that. When the virus is on your hand, that's how we spread a lot of illness. When it's on your hand and you touch your mouth, you touch your nose, that's how it works. So someone that says masks do not work, again, look at what happened when we put these mitigation strategies in place and look at how quickly the numbers dropped off. So certainly if you want to be a scientist and say, hey, the virus can get through some of the masks because they're not all N95 quality masks, absolutely, that's a true statement. But certainly they are going to block a lot of the virus. And again, you're not going to be touching your mouth and face.
Doctor, I've got a choice. I can either take another call or ask you about ivermectin, so I'm going to take another call. Jackie, welcome to the show. What can we help you with?
Hi. Yes, I was just calling because I work in an office. I am vaccinated, but I work in an office where my coworkers are not. How comfortable should I feel going to work every day?
Well, Jackie, you should feel somewhat comfortable. If I was your coworkers, I certainly wouldn't. Again, you have to remember that you're protected pretty well against any hospitalization. They are not protected at all. So certainly I would be careful of being around them, especially if they're ill, because they are going to have a higher chance of getting sick. And we do know that even vaccinated can, like I said, have some mild breakthrough cases. So certainly you're in a much better position than they are. But you should be of somewhat of concern, because they can have the illness for the first couple of days, be spreading it without having symptoms. So in an unvaccinated person, I would try to keep my distance, wear a mask around them, and really probably the biggest thing is really stay away from as much as possible.
Dr. Kevin Most, thanks very much for joining us today. As always, Jeff wants to talk to you real quick, okay? You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to head to, actually, we just asked the doctor off the air if he can stick around a little bit because we've got a lot of questions coming in. So if you want to have a question asked or answered, I should say, you can still give us a call 312-981-7200 or send a text as well. More from Dr. Most coming up, but first a visit into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN. It's Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now. He agreed to stick around a little bit longer. Of course, he's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So let's start with the text here. It's from a guy named Emerson. Doctor, my sister is 58 years old and doesn't want to get vaccinated. My question to the doctor is there a dart gun version of the vaccine that I can use on her? I'm going to say probably not.
Yeah, probably not is the correct answer.
All right, Melissa is on the phone line. Yeah. Melissa's got a fascinating situation that I bet a lot of schools are dealing with. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Dr. Most. So I'm a school administrator, and I had a parent come up to me and say that we must not be following the mitigation strategies because her son has a cold. And I guess my question is, last year we did not have a lot of illnesses at all at my school because of the masking, and there were also a lot less students in school. But this year we are seeing a lot of RSV pop up and a lot of colds pop up, and I'm wondering if with the mitigation strategies, should we expect more of that this year, or is it, should we not be seeing it, and I'm missing where our mitigation strategies are falling apart?
No, you're still doing fine. You know, the child with the cold, and you're absolutely right. RSV numbers are way up from where they normally would be. RSV is normally an illness that we see in the winter, and we're seeing it now because kids have gotten back together and now are spreading the virus. The mitigation that you're talking about, you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, masking, the distancing. I'm sure that you're washing hands and doing things. That mother also has to understand that when her child comes home, that child's interacting with other kids in the neighborhood, probably not wearing a mask when they're out playing. I doubt the person got the cold there. We're still being very safe in the schools. And the other thing I would tell parents is, you know, if your child is sick, they shouldn't be going to school anyways. But we certainly expect that this year, especially now coming into allergy season as well as cold season, that we're going to have a lot of schools with a lot of questions as far as, do we stay in? Do we not? Do these kids have to be tested? So there's going to be a lot of uncertainty as we go through these next few months.
Thanks for the call, Melissa. Doc, I had a doctor say that some of the breakthrough cases resemble colds, that it's chest congestion, runny nose, and things like that. Has that been your understanding?
100%. And that doctor is right, spot on. A lot of what we're seeing with these breakthrough cases, people say, oh, I don't feel bad. I got a little stuffiness. I have a little cold. We have people that are coming in for procedures and getting tested, and they're like, oh, I didn't even know I was positive, but I had these mild cold and symptoms. And especially right now, like I said, allergy season kind of kicking in again in the fall. They're having their allergies, even though it actually ends up being a minor case of Delta.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go in and check for antibodies after 6 weeks because I had a cold about 5 weeks ago. I came to work. I had an expert tell me they thought it was just a cold, and I'm curious, I'm concerned about whether or not, in fact, I had a case and might have been contagious to others. Joanne has called. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Can you come a little closer to your phone?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Were you washing the potatoes there for dinner? What was going on?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I just had a question. I had COVID in January this year. I'm 79 years old. And I lost my taste and smell and have not regained it back and still weak. By the end of the day, my legs are weak and I'm still, like, get worn out.
Well, a couple things. One, I think it's really important what you're telling individuals, especially those that are unvaccinated. You know, here you didn't have the opportunity to get vaccinated when you were exposed to COVID. But the impact of that with loss of taste and smell for this period of time, I have a good friend who's a physician who lost his taste and smell in October and still hasn't gotten it back. And the weakness, that is a little bit concerning because we know COVID can not only impact the heart, but can also impact the lungs. So we do have at Northwestern, I don't know where you live, but Northwestern does have clinics for what we call long haulers. So individuals who are having long-standing side effects from COVID. We have clinics in the cardiology and the pulmonology and the neurology section, depending on your symptoms, where we're doing clinical trials on treatments. So certainly one that's worthwhile. And you can go on to nm.org and look for that to see if one of those clinics would fit in with your schedule.
Okay, Joanne, thank you for the call. I hope you're feeling better. Okay, she went back to the potatoes doctor. Dr. Yes. Kevin Most from Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks for your time, your extended time. The phone's lit up. People really have questions for you, and they know you're the guy to answer them. So I'm glad you could stay with us a little bit longer.
Well, thanks. I apologize if I got a little, came across as being a little angry there. So, I mean, I need to keep my empathetic voice and
it's hard, isn't it?
Across the right way. It is at times.
Yeah, yep. I get it. All right. Well, thanks, Doc. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. Let's check in with the weather and traffic from Mary. It's all sponsored by Insperity.